Good morning. Today is Thursday, April the 5th. Joining us this morning, the Humboldt County Sheriff, unopposed Sheriff, Billy Hansel. Good morning, sir.
That's right, Brian. Good
morning. Don't let it go to your head, man.
Are you kidding me?
There are some of us that are going to try to keep you in check.
I appreciate that. You and my wife both like to do that.
Well, no, that's not like it's a joint project there. It just kind of...
Yeah. Okay. It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. And you brought somebody along that doesn't have a gun with her.
That's right. This is I brought Sam Cargas, our PIO. I thought it'd be a good time for us to sit down and talk about what the Sheriff's Office is doing as far as our public information and communication with the public, and introduce you to you, Brian.
Good morning.
All right. Now that today's highlight's been taken care of. Yeah, sure. Our quote this morning is from Peter Drucker, who, with his age reference, gets dangerously close to one of us in the studio. Perhaps two of us in the studio.
Not me.
Not me.
Yeah, fine. Okay. The curtain's now been lifted. Here I am at 58, and I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Profound.
Yeah. So, it seems like every month when you pop in, there's been so many things that have gone on a national basis that it's not ridiculous because that would imply something else, but mind-numbing might be a better phrase.
Yeah. You know, with school violence and all the attention that's getting, it's really, you know, focused here on the North Coast. We've actually met with lots of the school districts, and the Sheriff's Office is partnering with Humboldt County Office of Education, as well as the North Coast Schools Insurance Group, to try and offer classes to two different school districts regarding how we should react in an active assailant type situation on campus.
Well, there was a situation, was it yesterday at Winship?
Absolutely. There was a threat made at Winship Junior High School through social media yesterday that we had to investigate with the Eureka Police Department.
Somebody just being a goofball?
Yeah, we believe so. We believe there was just a threat. And then it was just passed on, which passed on to another person. And then it created a lot of panic. And which lots of people didn't show up to school yesterday because they thought something was going to occur, and that wasn't the case. It was a threat that was, I think they even tied it to someone out of state. So it was, with social media, with the rapid evolving of information being pushed from person to person, these things tend to get out of control really, really quickly. That's why we want to jump on top of things. One of the first things that we talk about on school campus when we talk about school campus violence is, if you hear something, please say something so we can investigate as quick as possible. Because we want people in school when there's really not a credible threat. We want people in school. We don't want there to be excuses every time that for parents to pull kids out of school.
The discussions that are going on with Facebook and Zuckerberg and the Instagrams and all that stuff, is law enforcement, not you guys specifically, but is law enforcement in general tracking that or entering into those discussions? It's tough to think free media or unfettered media, but then there's also the responsibility. I know it's specific to specific applications. For us, in this format, ours is far different than, let's say, a rock and roll station in the Bay Area.
Right.
The expectations, the standards are different. Get it. But for something like this that is really across the board, where it's been hands-off, but now he's talking about hands-on, or others are talking about regulating it, is law enforcement in that discussion anywhere?
We are. When social media starts taking off a couple of years ago, we had to jump on board with it because there's certain people that's all they pay attention to. And so we have to be involved in that. We had to establish our own Facebook account. We have to have that platform to push our own information out and then have people respond to it. And then we have to be responsive to that. We have people that are monitoring social media and social media groups as part of what Sam does for our organization. But we have other people in our organization that also do that because there's different community groups. McKinleyville, Garberville, Fortuna, they all have crime watch groups that we want to be a part of, that listen to things that are going on, because there's a lot of rumors and things that are kind of thrown out there in these forums that aren't necessarily the truth. We kind of want to quell some of those at times, and then also, lend credibility to the actual things that do occur.
What about the regulation of the content? Is the FBI, are any of these national law enforcement entities stepping in saying yeah or saying no? Yeah, I mean, maybe a great source of information. You don't want to have anybody get in the way, because if you're tracking it and it's doing well, hey, yeah, you know, don't mess up a good thing.
Absolutely. We know the federal government's tracking all social media, the NSA, FBI, you know, CIA, you know, they're in it, all of it. And so all those platforms, you know, we're a part of the information sharing with the FBI and Homeland Security. We meet quarterly with them to talk about credible threats that are made, you know, both, you know, out of country, in country, that relate to Northern California. So it's something that we do pay attention to. But again, that's part of Sam's job, as to be our social media coordinator.
And he keeps throwing you under the bus, and you're sitting there smiling.
Just enjoying the conversation.
Yeah, exactly. So how many different social medias are we on now, Sam?
Well, we are on three. Facebook, of course. We have Twitter and Instagram. And Instagram is our newer one. It's been a big hit. A way for us to show different photos and kind of a background of what we're doing out there in the field.
Pictures of the sheriff snoring at his desk.
No.
Big hit.
That might be a big hit. I don't know.
You're going to have to follow up on that one that you did last night. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. All right, a little in-studio humor, but we all enjoyed it.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, all right. Sam Cargas and Billy Hansel from the Sheriff's Department are with us. The activity that's going on the country's southern border, I know that you really wanted to go here. I know that.
Yes, yeah. Bring it on.
With the illegal immigration that we have some here, you know, certainly in the state of California, the stuff that the governor is doing, which I still find intriguing. You know, when you swear your oath, it's to uphold the, Yeah, you know, it's not to pick and choose, but okay, set that one aside. There's some activity that's going on. The National Guard are now going to be engaged. From your perspective, now, you're not having the Guard here, is there a vulnerability, or having some of our folks possibly down there, is there a vulnerability for our area if we get the late season flood, if there's that big earthquake where you would normally be using the National Guard? Is there coordination? I mean, how does all that stuff work?
Yeah. You know, what they'll do with the National Guard, when we make a request through Cal OES for additional resources like this in a time of emergency, they do prioritize where they need them the most. So in this case, you know, life would be life classification, life of a property would be made, and those counties that are in dire need of more help would get that assistance from the National Guard and the state resources. So I'm not concerned about that. You know, our biggest concern as far as border security really needs to be about. You know, we see it lately here in Humboldt County, all the drugs that pour into Humboldt County, and they all come from Mexico.
It is a two-way street.
Let me tell you.
It's not just leaving here and going out.
Absolutely. We produce a lot of marijuana that goes out of Humboldt County, but we are insourcing heroin and methamphetamine into Humboldt County daily. And it's all coming up through I-5 and the 101 corridor into Humboldt County. And we are actually becoming a hub for supplying all of Southern Oregon now with heroin and methamphetamine. And
you know, most people are going to go, okay, Southern Oregon, not a whole lot of there, other than Medford and Grants Pass. Is that the part that you're...
Yes, that is. But there is a huge draw. You know, there's a lot of
why
people
here
that are,
not Reading?
I think the I-5 corridor is actually, you know, there's a lot of enforcement on the I-5
the
corridor.
CHP so, guys
yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of resources that pour in on that federal highway system there on I-5, and so 101 here, a little sleepy Humboldt County. I don't know if anyone's paying
sleepy,
attention.
Maybe dopey, but not sleepy, man.
Well,
come on.
What people imagine would be
wrong dwarf.
on the North Coast. But if anyone's been paying attention, our drug task force has seized a ton of heroin and methamphetamine off the street, more than we've done in the last 10 years. We are seizing pounds, it seems like, every other week. And
are you getting better, or is there just more? And the percentage is the same?
I think both. I think we have so much of it here, but also our task force is working so good and following up on leads, following up on complaints, that that we are actually making a difference. And and we're getting, like I said, pounds. And it's not just heroin. I mean, it's methamphetamine is obviously huge here in Humboldt County, and we're getting that off the street too.
Where are the leads coming from?
You know, we have complaints that come in daily from citizens that say, hey, listen, there's a drug house here. There's also, you know, we pull over people sometimes that they have, you know, a little bit of dope, and then next thing you know, they're telling us who their suppliers are. And, you know, it happens like that. And so people love to snitch on each other, and we exploit that. And so...
Welcome to the world.
Absolutely.
It's stunning to me, some of these folks that get pulled over, and they've got gazillion... piles of dollars, and then they got the stuff in the back. You know, it's like they're, I don't know, a portable business, and I suppose in one weird sense they probably are. But just driving around, let's drive around without our lights on at night. Let's have a bashed in turn signal that isn't working. I mean, something that's obvious, you know, other than plugging in the sign that says stop me.
Yes.
You know, I mean, wouldn't you think that they would just try to be regular and get in the flow and not stand out, don't have the red car, have the brown car, you know?
Right.
I mean, all those types of things, are those just too base to be thought of?
Yeah, sometimes we don't catch the smart ones, you know? It's, but there's a lot of people out there that...
You did hang around with Harpum, didn't you?
So, you know, there are a lot of people out there that, you know, we catch a lot of people that do make those mistakes, you know, driving with 100 pounds of marijuana, and they would forget to register their vehicle, you know. And this kind of stuff happens all across the central United States when people smuggling marijuana, you know, to the East Coast, you know, they don't register their car, or they're going 65 miles an hour in a 55 zone. And
in driving with California plates.
Driving, yes.
What more do you need, right?
Yes.
Oh, gee. So this trend that's going on, is there increased usage in the area, or are we just kind of like a distribution center?
We have, there's increased usage. We have a lot of people that are addicted to methamphetamine and heroin, a lot. And so there is a great need here, and that's why when we bust a supplier, another supplier pops up, you know, fairly quickly, because the need is so great.
That's just really weird to be thinking that the need. I mean, that,
it is. I mean, people that are addicted to heroin.
It's like a business, you know, supply and demand.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is that prevalent, unfortunately. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Sam Cargas and Billy Hansel from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese. Billy, we heard in the news, or I don't know if Sam wants to wrestle with this one, that Joe Anthony's old practice on Harris, Eureka Pediatrics, is now going to be a chemical exchange location. I have a tough time using the right words on
treatment,
this one.
Drug treatment?
You facility. Betcha, sure. We'll change one thing for another. Yes. Good, bad, indifferent, what do you think?
So, you know, it's going to take a whole lot of treatment options to try and get people that free from this addiction that we have here on the North Coast. Aegis is the company that is buying out that building, and they are a corporation, a for-profit corporation that has several locations in California. I think the latest one that they built is in like the Chico, Redding area. And they are a drug treatment facility that prescribe medicines to combat, the treatment. So it'll be a daily treatment, and people show up there every day to get their Suboxone, their methadone, and Vivitrol. I think that's the other drug that's an option. But each patient is going to be evaluated on what's best for them, and I think it's a worthwhile thing to try. I don't think this is going to cure the problem. I think there's going to be a lot of different approaches to it. And, I think there was an interesting statistic that the person, I forget his name, that was bringing this program forward. I mean, he said that really their patients, only 10% of them are the homeless. 90% of them, are functioning addicts or they're on the road to... to becoming homeless or having their life wrecked because of their addiction. So, I think getting people before they ruin their entire life is something that would probably be worthwhile for us to try. So I think it's great.
Is alcohol one of the substances that they're also working with, or is this just the chemistry room stuff?
I don't know for sure, but they've only been focusing on opioids. So they talk about heroin, they're talking about prescription medicine, those kind of things.
It's interesting. Well, you remember Blue Heron?
I do.
Boy, does that just a frightening phrase? I do.
I do. and I believe Broadway's a lot better. It looks a lot better now.
Yes. So that has gone. And family recovery services that used to be in existence also. Yeah. Some of these various programs that were out there to help get people who wanted to break the chain, so to speak. There were options. Are there options now? I keep hearing that there are more people who want to stop their habit than opportunities to be able to do that, whether it's booze or smoking or whatever it might happen to be.
Life addiction issues. There are options, but the options are very few right now. There really are. I mean, there's, because of our highly addictive culture here in Humboldt County, we do have Humboldt or Waterfront Recovery. That's a newly established recovery center in downtown Eureka, which has been highly successful, but we still have the faith-based organizations that are highly successful too. Teen Challenge, The Rescue Mission, Betty Chin, and then...
Now, are they involved with substance abuse, or are they working with some of the byproducts thereof?
Nope, substance abuse. So alcohol, drugs, any kind of life-controlling issues, they deal with both Rescue Mission, Teen Challenge, and Betty Chin. But there's a lot of 30-day programs still here that do work for some people. Sometimes they just need 30 days. Sometimes people just need one day in jail, and they figure out they need to change. Other times it takes years and years of incarceration or going through these various treatment centers for it to stick. And sometimes it never does. But I think, our goal here, and this is our goal in the jail as well, that we're going to continue to offer programs for those people that want help. And even if it's, we're going to offer it every single time, because we want to be there. We want to have something in place so when someone is actually ready, we have something to offer.
How prevalent are drugs inside the jail facility?
It's more prevalent than I want it to be, to give a crappy answer, I guess.
No,
We try our best to get drugs out of there. We have body scanners, we have drug dogs, we have that, and it still winds its way in there.
Just and people being extraordinarily creative?
Being creative, you know, we've had to restrict our mail coming in and the type of mail comes in because people were lacing paper with different types of drugs. And then people, you know, self-commit and they smuggle drugs in through their body cavities. And so it's...
I figure that's hardcore addiction.
It is.
That's a different ballgame. The jailer that got attacked...
Yeah, correctional deputy that got attacked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody must have been on something to do that.
No, this guy...
Or was that just a personality trait that somebody had?
This guy was just, absolutely crazy. Off, you know, and we had three correctional deputies there during the time. Yeah, and so he just went after one of our deputies. And so it took three of them to get this guy down. And so our county jail's become a mini prison. With the amount of highly agitated, highly violent people that we have in custody there. And again, our county jail was meant to hold people for 365 days max. And we have people in there that are going to spend years in our county jail. And it is not the answer for everything. You know, this should be our local jail that we house our local problems and our nuisance issues and those kind of things. But the state of California has made it so we're housing hardcore criminals here. And because the state, you know, prison system is overcrowded. And, you know, I don't think more prisons is the answer. But here in California, we're growing, our population is growing every year. And we have to build more prisons. With more schools, all that other stuff. It's not a popular thing, but we have to.
We'll talk about what the timeline is on the new prison expansion here. Nice jail. Setup, dude.
Jail expansion.
Okay, fine. I guess it's back to being a jail then. When we come back.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. Well, no more with Billy. With Sam Cargas. Yeah. See, he can't even just sit there, can he?
Exactly.
Nah, he's got to be involved. So, Sam, what are you doing differently that's making his job and the communities a little bit easier to understand?
Well, we're really focusing on transparency, and so getting what we're doing out there as soon as we can so that people know what's going on. Sometimes there has been a delay in information, and that causes panic. And so what we're trying to do is to calm people down, give them the right information before rumors start to spread.
Was it rumor control?
Yeah, that would be accurate for that. Like we were talking about earlier, there's a lot of community groups on Facebook, and they're great for sharing information, but also you get this one idea that sounds right, and it goes all the way to Lost Coast, you know, and it just kind of propagates in that way. So we're trying to control that in a sense of the right information is getting out. And Facebook has been great for us with that. We've really created a community forum within our own Facebook page. So it's been really fun being able to respond to people's questions there and knowing that they can come to us directly and ask those questions.
Love the fact you didn't use the word manage. Manage the information.
Yeah.
Because I think it's probably really challenging because if it's in my neighborhood, it's my, you know, that's the issue I want.
Right.
Period, end of story. I don't care about all this stuff. How do you avoid the micro discussions? Because Billy, you could have a staff of 100, and you're never going to be able to satisfy all.
That's right.
Right. But, you know, our policy is to respond to everything that's asked to us. We might not be able to give you all of the information. We might say, sorry, that's not releasable. But making it really an open door policy where people can contact us and get the information that they're looking for. And so I'm not sure about micro conversations.
My block, my neighborhood, you know, right. That specific, you know, right. If you live out in the, you know, in the middle of the tough area. Now, Billy, there's been, I guess, an ongoing looking for the goofball in Garberville.
Yeah, Zach Harrison.
Is he like number one guy that you're looking for?
He is.
Or is there a bunch of connections here that really make him somebody you want?
No, he is. I mean, he's a guy that committed murder back in September with a firearm, and so we are going to be pursuing him until we get him.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.